Let's open our Bibles to Esther chapter 5. Esther chapter 5, and I want to read the first 8 verses tonight. And we're going to look at these verses under the heading of a difficult task to perform. A difficult task to perform. But let's go ahead and read these verses. It says, "Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel, and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. And Esther answered, If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, Cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther hath said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, What is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even the half of thy kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, My petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king hath said." Let's pray. Lord, bless as we look at these verses tonight and attempt to make application of them to our own lives. Lord, may we see steps that need to be taken when we are faced with performing a difficult task. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've been studying the book of Esther, we have been emphasizing the providence of God. And that's because that is what the book of Esther is all about. God's workings in the background, in ways that you might not visibly notice it, and yet it does come out in the open in the days ahead. And we've looked most recently at how Mordecai tried to encourage Queen Esther to go to the king on the behalf of her people. Now, she, up to this point, is a little bit reluctant to do so. And we'll talk more about why here in just a moment. But Queen Esther was called upon, in general, to perform a very difficult task. Of course, it's only difficult when you understand the circumstances surrounding this task. But again, I think everybody has been here for some of these messages and recognized that Haman convinced the king to create a law where all the Jews would be destroyed on the appointed day. And Haman had convinced the king that this people and their laws was contrary to him and his laws. And that if he didn't do something about this people, that it might ultimately divide or destroy his kingdom. And that's why King Ahasuerus created the law that he did. And so here we are in the midst of these few months before the Jews were to be destroyed. And Mordecai, as you recall in the last message, when he was made aware of the law and its signing, he took off his royal apparel, he put on sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he didn't go into the court. He sat outside of the gate because no one was actually allowed to go in the type of clothes that he was wearing. Now, when Esther was made aware of her uncle Mordecai's actions, she attempted to send him some, gay apparel is what I would call it, some cheerful clothing. so that he would change his clothes, because what he was doing was embarrassing to her as the queen. And she wanted him to cover up, this sackcloth. She wanted him to take it off. And again, we made application in the last message that this is exactly what a lot of people try to do once they realize that they're a sinner before God. And actually, maybe they don't realize it consciously that they're a sinner before God, but there's guilt in their conscience about their sinful conduct, and they want to try to cover that up somehow. And so what do? They try to decorate themselves with good works. But good works can never atone for sin. And if people would understand these basic concepts, they would understand that there is no such thing as a works gospel. You cannot be saved by works, because your good works, they don't do anything about your sin. And just one sin makes you a sinner. Means you've broken God's law and you deserve a just punishment. And so again, Mordecai encourages Esther to go before the king and to intercede for her people. This was the task that she was faced with. And what made this a difficult task is that if she went into the king's presence and he did not hold out the golden scepter, she could be put to death. And you might not think that the king would ever not hold out the golden scepter to his queen, but what Esther reveals in the last chapter was that the king had not called upon her to come to him in 30 days. So in her mind, she is thinking that she has lost favor with the king. And so she was scared that if she did go before the king, she could lose her life. And that's why she said when she resolved to go, "If I perish, I perish." So this was indeed a sacrifice, or could be a sacrifice for Queen Esther. Because if she went before the king and she did not find favor in his eyes, she could lose her life. And so here she is, faced with this difficult task. And you know, likewise in our lives, we are at times facing very difficult tasks. I don't know what the task might be in your life at this particular juncture, but I'm sure if you sat and gave it some thought as to difficult tasks that you were faced with right now, you could come up with a few. And so I think as we look at what was necessary in order for Esther to perform this difficult task, we could safely apply each principle to ourselves and to see what is necessary in order for us to tackle this task that we're faced with. And might I just make one specific application, is God has tasked us as a local church to preach the gospel to every creature. We call that the Great Commission, the commission that Jesus left his disciples with. And he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And that's a very big task, isn't it, that we're faced with? And there are some things that we're going to need to do if we're ever going to accomplish that task. And so as we look at what Esther needed to perform her task, let's apply each of these things at the end to our task, which is the Great Commission. And so notice what was necessary. Let me read verse number 1 again of our text. It says, "Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house." Now it says there was 3 days. On the third day, I'm assuming since the law was signed. And so there was this period of time before Queen Esther approached the king. And during this time, Queen Esther had asked Mordecai, her uncle, and all the Jews to fast. If you look back at chapter number 4 in verse 16. It's and this is Esther speaking. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. So she said, Mordecai, I want you to do this. I want you to gather together all the Jews. I'll gather together my maidens, and for 3 days we'll fast. Now normally we associate prayer with fasting. Matter of fact, many times in the New Testament, when one is referenced in particular fasting, so is prayer. I mean, it's very rare in the Scriptures to find the people of God fasting without them also praying. Now, I believe praying in this particular context is left out by God on purpose. As you recall, our initial message on the book of Esther, there's no references to the names of God. And I believe that God has done that on purpose because it has helped to impress upon our minds the overall theme of the book. And any absence or the absence to any of the names of God, you know, further solidifies that in our minds. Likewise, the absence of people even praying to God. And so while we understand that they were fasting during this time, I think it's safe to assume that they were also praying. And maybe I'm interjecting something here that I shouldn't, but what I find the people of God doing when Esther had a difficult task to perform was fasting and praying. And I think most of us understand fasting is when you abstain from food. And they were doing that for 3 days. And seeking the face and the help of God. And I want you to notice there was one individual who was actually performing the specific task. But there was a lot of other people involved in what was going on. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't just Esther that caused her task to be performed successfully. It was all those who supported her through their prayers and through their fasting. It's kind of like Moses. Remember the battle that Israel fought against Ai? And when Moses held his hands up, the people of Israel were victorious. But when his arms grew heavy and tired and they began to drop, the people of Israel began to be defeated. And so what happened? Two men came alongside Aaron and Hur to hold up his arms. And as Moses was successful in doing what he needed to do, all the people prevailed. All the people succeeded. All the people prospered. So you see how it was in the best interest of the entire nation that Moses succeed in keeping his arms up. And so people came alongside to help him, to support him, because if he wins, they win. And you know, in a sense, that the same thing is true about the pastor of a church. The father of a family. If the pastor wins, the people win. If dad wins, the family wins. And if Esther wins, the entire nation is preserved. You know, our missionaries, each time they come, they talk about the importance of prayer, and specifically us praying for them. You know, sometimes we might think that that doesn't make a difference. But it does make a difference. If you believe your Bible, it makes a difference. In our memory verse in the bulletin, the author of the book of Hebrews, he makes mention how those people who gave to him are just as much a part of what was accomplished through him as he was. And that's something to keep in mind. I tell you what, it'll probably revive your prayer life for other people who are serving God to know that when you pray for them and God answers those prayers and they're blessed, you are a part of their success. And so I'm simply saying, you know, if we're to succeed as Shepherdsville Baptist Church in reaching this community and seeing people saved and not establishing necessarily a work here, but maintaining a work here, we're going to need to pray. And when we pray, it demonstrates that we have a reliance upon God, which is what God wants, rather than us trying to perform the ministry in our own strength. I was reading most recently in my daily Bible readings about King Asa, I think it is. And you know, there was a time in his life when he relied upon the Lord. And when he did, when he went to battle, he was victorious. He started well, but you know, later on in his life, he didn't rely. He didn't trust in God. And as a result, he was defeated. And might I say, with a much smaller army against a much less significant foe. You know, there's no victory that cannot be won if we just trust God. The task that God has given us might be too big for us to perform, but it's not too big for God. It's not about our strength. You know, somebody a few weeks ago posted something online, and I read it. It's a Christian. Matter of fact, it's an individual I went to Bible college from, and it really just shows me that some people, I guess, didn't learn the things I learned. But he was referencing how Moses, you know, God came to Moses and said, I want you to go before Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And you know the story. Moses said, but Lord, I can't talk. And the individual was referencing that, and they said something to this degree. Moses had an improper view of himself. And he said, many times we have an improper view of ourselves, and we need to see ourselves as God sees us. Moses needed to see himself as God sees him. And I thought to myself, where in the world did you get that from that text? God didn't give Moses a motivational speech. You can do it, Moses. You're the man. You're strong. I've heard you speak, man. You can speak. You just go tell Pharaoh. That's not what God said. He said, God says, who made the mouth? I did. Moses didn't need to see himself as God saw him. He needed to see how big God was. Because it wasn't Moses that was going to do anything. But that's the thinking of popular Christianity. We need to view yourself as God sees you. And you know what you're going to see? Filthy rags. That's what you're going to see. And that probably would be good for us to get a glimpse of. Just how utterly and wicked and sinful we are. But you see, we've got this motivational Christianity today. Just talk everybody up like they're something. We need to be talking God up. But again, I'm simply saying prayer was something that was essential for Esther to perform her task. Notice Romans 15:30 says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Paul said, labor with me by praying. Specifically by praying for me. just never forget that this, even this whole ministry, while it has a head, which is Christ, and an under-shepherd, which is myself, this is a group effort. This is a group effort. Just like, even though Esther had to perform the task, she needed the prayers of others. What else was needed? Providence. Verse 2, it says, "And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter." Esther had determined to do right, yet she knew it was possible that she would die. Can you imagine how she must have entered the king's court? She put on her best apparel. As she approached closer, her heart started beating faster. Maybe she tiptoes into the room as quietly as she can, trying not to appear nervous, and perhaps stands in the farmost corner of the room, waiting for the king to notice her. And the king then, out of the corner of his eye, notices Esther standing in the room. And now Esther holds her breath. But the king holds out the golden scepter. You know, Esther might have been anxious. She might have been nervous. She might have wondered what was going to happen. But God was never nervous. God was never unclear. He knew exactly what He was going to do. Again, a verse I've referenced before in this study, Proverbs 21:1, it says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will." You know, didn't God turn the king's heart towards Esther during the beauty pageant? And that was in a small thing. And that should have encouraged Esther that God was going to do the same thing down the road. He gave her favor in the king's eyes back then. And you know what? He's able to now give her favor in the king's eyes again in a much bigger scale. And you know, one commonality that I've found amongst those who surrender to God and go forth in service to Him, there have been very small things in that individual's life early on that God uses to encourage them. And there's even something in my own life that I constantly point back and see the hand of God on my life. Now, God has not done that every day, every week, every year, every decade in my life since. But I always look back and how God guided and provided in the past. And it encourages me that I'm going, that I went in the right direction, and that God's going to provide today. He's going to provide now. I say providence was needed. Providence was needed. God's favor, God's working through circumstances that are outside of His perfect will. That was necessary. That was needed. And God worked. I don't know if I said this at the beginning of the message, but you know, one of the things that really made this difficult task for Esther was fear for her life. But as I thought about this message, I thought, you know, there was probably something else that was going through Esther's mind. Recall the Bible, God points out that she had not yet revealed her ethnic background. She had not yet revealed that she was a Jew. Nobody knew that. But by virtue of going to the king, that was going to come out. Because she was going to have to say, "King, the law that you signed is contrary to my people." And perhaps this is what was whirling around in her mind, which is what made Mordecai say, "Hey, do you think you're going to survive this? Because you're not. It's going to come out what you're ethnic background is. And when it's discovered that you're a Jew, you're going to die too. But maybe even in the back of Esther's mind, she's thinking, you know what, if I just keep this to myself and I don't reveal to anybody my ethnic background, if all the Jews are destroyed, maybe I can preserve my own life. And you can see why it was difficult for her to step out and to make public that she was a Jew. And you know, this fits right along with the mentality of a lot of Christians today. They say they're Christians in the closet and down at the church house, but they won't make it public because they know the minute they make it public, there's going to be a stigma attached to them that is attached to every fundamental Bible-believing Christian, and they're not willing to make it public. But you know, Jesus said that if you confess me before others, then I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But he said, if you deny me, then I'll deny you. That ought to motivate us to make our faith in Christ public and not keep it private. After all, who are we trying to please? Men? Are we trying to please God? Our focus ought to be to please God. But again, providence was needed. God, you know, I don't care how much praying these people did. If God did not intervene in this, the Jews would be destroyed. And I hope that we recognize that if we are to perform the Great Commission, if we are to perform some other difficult task that God has given us to perform, it will not be done in our own strength. God's going to have to play a part. You know, nobody can be saved apart from God. I mean, we can be the smoothest evangelist in the world and know how to say everything just right. But if the Holy Ghost doesn't bring conviction to the heart of the sinner, no one will be saved in our gospel presentation. And that probably points back to why prayer is so important. Because we're saying to God, God, we can't do this without you. We can go forth and we can preach the gospel, but if the Holy Ghost doesn't bring conviction, there'll be nothing accomplished. So providence was needed. Prayer was needed. And maybe I could choose a better word for this last one, but I think we also see that patience was needed. Look at verse 3. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee to half the kingdom. And I guess this was the custom of the day because this is what the kings were always saying, right? King Ahasuerus, King Herod, everybody always said, I'll give you up to half the kingdom. Nobody ever said, I'll give you up to a tenth of the kingdom. Always up to half. And nobody ever asked for half the kingdom. I said, half the kingdom. 50-50. Nobody ever said that. And you would think that Esther would just come right out and say, will you spare the life of my people? But she didn't do that. I think she was still a little bit reserved. She was still a little bit anxious. And she wasn't quite sure whether or not she wanted to do this. And she said, King, can you and Haman come to a banquet that I've prepared? Will you do that for me? And then I'll make my request known to you. And the king says, okay, we'll do that. We'll be there. And they show up. And he says again, what's your request, Esther? You can have it up to half the kingdom. And does she ask for half the kingdom? No. Does she make her request known? No. Still a little bit nervous, still a little bit anxious, at least that's the way I perceive it. And so she says, King, do me one more favor. Come to a banquet that I prepare tomorrow. And bring Haman with you. And then I'll make known to you my request. And the king agrees. And you know, while it might have while Esther might have been motivated by her fear, we're going to see next week how God used it. And again, this highlights the overall theme of the book of Esther, providence. God doesn't want us to be fearful in this sense. He doesn't want us to be anxious in the sense that Esther was, but many times we are. And this delayed Esther making her request known, but God was going to use it, because as we're going to see, the king's going to attempt to lay his head on his pillow this night and sleep, and he's not going to be able to. And when he can't sleep, he's going to have the history books opened and read to him. And you know what he's going to discover? He's going to discover back when Mordecai revealed the plot to assassinate him and how Mordecai made the king aware of it. And you know what the king's going to all of a sudden realize? Hey, this people isn't so opposed to me. They're not as opposed to me as Haman led me to believe. Haman had to be lying because Mordecai helped to save my life. I wish the world would recognize that too. Bible-believing Christians are not their enemies. We want to help people. We want to point them to the truth. We want to show there's a better way. We want to show them there is a hell to avoid and a heaven to gain. Why does that make us your enemy? And so patience, in the sense that I'm using it here, time was required. And when the timing was right, God providentially worked it all out so that Esther made her request at just the right time. And when she did, the king's heart was towards Mordecai and towards her people. And therefore he signed a new law whereby they could defend themselves. We as a church, like Esther, face a very difficult task. We're called upon to reach the world, and more specifically, reach these communities around us for Christ. That's going to require some things. It's going to require prayer. And I hope that we're consistently praying for the salvation of the people of this community. It's going to require providence. God's going to have to come alongside and work. If He doesn't, we're not going to accomplish anything. But if He will work on our behalf and bless our efforts, there's no telling what might be done. And sometimes it takes a little time. It took a little time for this whole situation to work itself out. But it did. You see, she was called upon to rescue, in a sense, the perishing. And that's what we're called upon to do. To go forth and rescue the perishing. That's what we should title this message, by the way. But maybe you have some other difficult task that God has called upon you to perform. Does it seem impossible? It's not impossible. It just requires a few things. Patience, providence, and prayer. A lot of people probably thought that the Bull Camp's desire to go to Romania was an impossible task. But through prayer and providence and waiting, enough time passing, they're going to Romania. Praise the Lord. And if we have a difficult task to perform and we think it's impossible, it's not impossible. Just wait on God, and until He provides a solution, just keep praying. Just keep praying. And it might all turn out just like the book of Esther did. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for Thy Word. Thank You for the encouraging applications that we can make from the book of Esther. And Lord, we do believe that the task that Esther was called upon to perform in her mind was a very difficult one. And Lord, there was very severe consequences if she failed. And yet, I believe she came to the right conclusion when she said, I'll go, and if I perish, I perish. And Lord, as your people prayed for her, and as Providence interceded, that is, you interceded on behalf of her, we see that a great victory was won. And Lord, I pray that you'd grant us a great victory. And Lord, it's not us, I guess, that gets the victory, but it's you. And might you get a victory in this community by each of us availing ourselves to thee and allowing you to work in and through us to reach the perishing all around us. Lord, might you work in the hearts and lives of the people of this community and the communities around us and reveal to these people their sin, reveal to them who Jesus is, and might they be saved as a result. And Lord, if there's some here tonight who are faced with some sort of other difficult task, might they be encouraged by what we find in the book of Esther, and might they put the matter to prayer, asking you to intercede on their behalf, and Lord, as time passes, might you answer those prayers, and might you give the victory. So bless, Lord, as this message has went forth. Use it for thy glory and use it for the benefit of thy people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me.